Yes, nice. So I'm going to talk a little bit about today how privacy works in current like times. And I'm going to talk about control of our own privacy, of our own digital selves, and stuff like that. So this is a little bit more of a like political talk. I have some points in there that are a little contentious. And that's the point. It's about changing the way you look at things a little bit and trying to infer some misunderstandings that I see in privacy, like activism, and what we need to do to change that. So who am I? So my name is Kuchen or Kuchen. I don't care how you pronounce it, but technically it's pronounced Kuchen. It's a German word, just spelled wrong because I'm funny. I'm 23 years old, and I'm studying media and human-centered computing at the TU Vienna. I'm researching in privacy topics. I wrote the bachelor thesis on privacy awareness. I care about privacy. That's why I'm holding this talk. I'm going to start us off with a little bit of a my understanding of control here. So, what does control mean when we're talking about privacy? What does it mean to be control of your own privacy? What are you actually controlling? And the first thing you're controlling is data. So you're talking about and you're controlling your own personal data, your own sensitive data, and those kinds of things. So real basic, personal data is data about a person. So anything that can be used to say something about you is your own personal data. And that means like stuff like your name, like your email addresses, like your passwords. But it also means like stuff like, well, I've been at Privacy Week this year. Or stuff like, I brought 7 Mate today because I'm kind of like, I need more caffeine because I slept only 2 hours. Stuff like that. Sensitive data is stuff that you like strictly don't want people to know. Like stuff like, your medical history, your passwords, or how many hours you slept maybe. Maybe that's something you don't want to tell people. That's a decision that you make yourself that's part of your control. And the question in privacy we often have is, like, how long do we control that data? How long do we have control? And how far does our control reach? And can we, first of all, can we control what we disclose? And second of all, like how far, like is that, and that's probably also where we like stop controlling our data. Once we disclose it, it's mostly uncontrollable, right? But it's not just about data. It's about gaining insight from data. It's about saying, well, this person slept only 2 hours over the last week. There must be something going on in this life or in their lives. And that's like kind of where the control aspect falls apart a little bit, where you say, well, I'm at Disneyland today, if you tweet that out, for example. That's like you're saying I'm at Disneyland. That's the data you're sending out. But what insights can be gained from that data is something you no longer control. You don't control what people infer from that. You don't control like anything about it. Like if there's a terror attack at Disneyland at that time, there's already information there that maybe you don't want to have disclosed. And these kinds of like questions that we have to ask ourselves is where control of your privacy starts falling apart bits by bits. So the question of what insights can be gained by data is not yours to answer. It's the person that answers that is the attacker, the person that wants to find stuff out about you, and not you yourself. And that's where like stuff starts breaking down. If you're not in control of your data, you're not in control of the insight gained by that data. The other point like related to controlling your data is nothing is ever deleted. Like ever. That's like the point of gathering data is to not delete it. And that's like especially true in the ages of the internet. But it's also been true like for decades beforehand when financial institutions were like, well, we're going to store everything to the last detail for years to come. And people have seen how powerful that is and are now using that in unrelated like technology, like your mobile games are now storing data because that might be useful in the future. Sometimes it's useful for features, but most of the time it's not useful for features that benefit you. And that's like the fundamental scary part about data about you, is that you have no control over it or the insights gained from it after a certain period of time. And like if you take it a step further, people start combining information about you, and like combining information that can be gathered from open source intelligence, for example. And that's where we have those like issues where you have no idea what people know about you. Like, even if you knew what data they have about you, you don't know what they know about you. And like a talk I always recommend to people related to that is Spiegelmeiling from David Kreisel from the 33rd Congress, which is very much about just using open source intelligence, so stuff from open sources, and figuring out what kinds of insights can be gained from that, and like going really in depth to saying, well, I know the people who don't work anymore from which resource they are. I know which articles the Spiegel thinks are not worthy of questioning, like putting comments on, and stuff like that. And the more data you have, and the more like creative you are with examining that data, you get so much insight that nobody would have ever thought of. And there's like personal like estimates and hypotheses you can gain from that data that make it hard to ever like be comfortable again when disclosing data, right? Oh, there's a four in there. That's fun. The other thing that we kind of like need to think about here is the societal impact of that, right? Where you want to say, well, I don't want to give out my data. I want to have control of everything I ever do and like how it's perceived. But then there's also like services all of a sudden where everyone is on, like with Facebook, where people like generally in your age groups might be on, or like Snapchat or stuff like that, or even like your favorite MetaMost account, MetaMost instance, or your favorite Mastodon instance. You're giving out that data in some forms. And if you don't want to give out data there, you have to, like, non-participation means, in this case, to not give out data, but also to not be a part of the society anymore. We're like focused and like dependent on those systems and cannot like divulge from them if we want to be part of the social group, the community, and stuff like that. And that's where privacy gets hard, right? And the question is, can you not participate? Is this actually something you can do? On an individual level, you might, but on a bigger group level, probably not. And that's where, like, the fundamental issue why we're here, like, today is what that's about. It's about understanding that the few people that care might not be enough, and figuring out what to, like, where to go from there. So, another big point of my topic today is power dynamics. How is power distributed, and how like are decisions formed? We had like two talks before me, a short mention of that in regards to GDPR, where information, like consent has to be freely given. That means that you are a person that can just, well, I can like actually choose to say, yes, I want to consent to that. Yes, I'm okay, like freely choosing to give away my data here. And that's something that's obviously something we want to be able to do, because sometimes it's useful. But the question of, is that actually something that's freely like doable, becomes more and more of a thing, right? So that's what we talk about when we talk about informed consent. The choice of giving up your data is supposed to be something you could just do with informed consent. You know why you're doing it, you know what's happening, and maybe you also know what's gonna happen because of that. Like how is giving out that data gonna impact you? And those are the fundamental questions we as users are supposed to ask ourselves when we consent to something. Those are the basic principles written into law that we need to think about when we consent to giving out our data. And it kind of feels broken, right? It doesn't feel like that's something we actually have. We have not enough information. I don't feel like we're having it freely. And other stuff like that is also not happening. And the question is, well, why are we dealing with that, right? And how can we improve that? And like for example, the freely given part, like feeds right back into, can we even choose not to participate? Can we choose not to give out our personal data when it is required to be given out, to participate in a group, to participate with your friends, to talk to your family? Because in the end, that's like the problems we face as users, where we say, I want to talk to my grandmother that's spending all her time on Facebook. That's the best way to reach her. But, well, what are you going to do besides using Facebook, right? You can't just say no to Facebook. Well, I write letters to her or something. Like, then your grandmother thinks you're not cool enough or something, right? And that's like the fundamental issue we have, where those systems hold our like social circles kind of hostage and tell us these are choices you have to make in order to be part of the group or society or other parts, right? So that's why we have to ask ourselves, where is the power? Who has the power? And I see proprietary systems that like even technical people can't read what is happening there. We don't really know. And it requires blind trust from us that whatever they're writing in the AGBs or the ULA is true and that they're actually upholding it. And nothing ever could possibly happen differently, and we just have to trust that. We don't have any kind of control in there. And we are basically left as these lone individuals that are just doing what they think is best. But we don't have the structures and the power, and we don't have the information, most of all, to actually understand what's happening. And then we have situations where, like, that trust is just like walked all over. Nobody cares. You are giving up your data and now it's all over the internet. Well, not my problem, right? You can't sue me. You can't like fix stuff. You are not in control. We also have another issue which I kind of talked about, which is technical literacy, where you, even to understand what little information you could gain, you have to know a lot of stuff about what's happening. Like, maybe if you really like know exactly what's happening, the technical part of it, you can control your information flow to that service in a way where you can say, yes, I know what they know about me. But do you really know? Are you really sure? Even technical people are not quite sure. Like, most of us just assume the worst, right? It's like, oh, they have everything now. Nothing I can change here. But even that's a privileged information. Like, even assuming everything is compromised is something you can only do if you have the technical literacy to. And the question then becomes, at what point do we just pray to the gods of people that know how the technology works and like give ourselves up because we don't know what's happening? And that's where we're going to, right? Where we're saying, only people with technical expertise have privacy. Is that something we really want? There is like a famous movie scene, and that's kind of another part of the power dynamics here is, I'm altering the user licenses agreement. Pray I don't alter it any further. Like, for example, what we saw with the GDPR is, well, we now have to comply with laws, so we're going to push out some policies. But you can't leave. You have all your friends here. You have all your things here. We are changing the relationship, like the company is changing the relationship you were in with the company without ever asking you. They just told you it's happening. And that's not something that we can like dependably say that's a good thing, right? Trust and privacy. So, I kind of wrote a like a thesis about this, so I kind of want to talk about it a little bit. A big issue with like privacy is, why do we care? Like, just privacy, right? That's something weird people do. Well, not really, right? Privacy is about setting boundaries and saying, this is what I'm okay with, this is what I'm not okay with. And I want to say where that line is, and everyone like individually should have the right and the like the means to say what they want to not have known about themselves and whatnot, right? Like, as a part of my presentation here, I didn't tell anyone my name besides my Twitter handle, because that's a boundary I wanted to set. I mean, I personally don't really care if you know my name, but it's an indication of what is important to me, right? Being able to say, well, you know me as Kuchen, and there's nothing else probably, unless I know you personally. And that's a choice I can make. But that's like kind of where we care about this. But does it work? Does it always work? Like, we had a conference last year in Austria where they just like made a really big fuss about that, where they said, well, if you're not giving us your real name, why should we trust you? You're just a person. And like, you're not real enough if you don't have a real name. And those are like societal ways where you feel like, well, these like privacy thing is really lost as a social norm, which is something we hear like thrown around a lot, where you say, privacy is something we care about, but actually you're not allowed to make choices for your privacy. And in a digital space especially, and like we have a lot of recent events that like underline that, privacy is not only there to remain to maintain boundaries, it's also there to maintain your freedom. And I think the argument is valid to say you need privacy to maintain democracy. And like, even if that's not how far you want to go, it's still about being able to control your digital self. Like, how do people see you in the online, the digital space? That's the like the most basic understanding of what privacy helps us in the digital space. Just saying, that's my surface and that's it. And also, privacy is about trust. We set boundaries, but we have to trust other people and trust special people to like respect those boundaries. If I'm on the street, I have to trust those people not to stab me, right? That's like not that hard to trust people not to stab you most of the time, but sometimes they look like maybe they want to stab me. So that's where trust gets into the issue, right? And trust often means being vulnerable. If you're in a big crowd of people, you have to trust that the person behind you won't just like nick your bag out of your, or like your purse out of your bags or something like that, or like steal, I don't know, your hats. That's something you have to trust, like the group as a whole, to uphold. Or you also have to trust that then if someone steals your hat, the person next to him will go, what the fuck are you doing? Because that's like, that's how trust works. You have to like understand as a group what the boundaries are. And that's what we're conscious of, right? In a way, we would like not like especially think about it as much, but it's something we have in the back of our minds. Well, sometimes if you're getting into dangerous situations, you're like, yeah, that's dangerous. And that could have gone wrong, but it worked out. And then we're going to the digital space, where it seems that we don't care. Which I say, well, there's Facebook there, and they won't do anything, right? Well, just giving their data. You don't have anything to base the trust off, right? You don't really know the people behind Facebook. And even if you do, they look like Zuckerberg and are very defensive in interviews and have notes prepared for them that say, do not say we're breaching the GDPR and stuff like that. Where you see, like, it's hard to understand those people as trustworthy, right? And that's where this becomes complicated. But we do it anyways. We just trust everyone, it seems. And well, I kind of did a little research there. I talked to a few people and like did some interviews and talked and made some surveys. And what I found out is basically people don't trust those institutions at all. They just forgets that trust is something they care about in a privacy relationship. And they in fact, actively mistrust Facebook, probably even more than other people, other companies, because Facebook is the one that is publicly more talked about as being untrustworthy. But they generally use them anyways. And quite interestingly enough, in my research, I also found that most people try to leave Facebook at least once and then mysteriously came back. So who is in the power here, right? That's the kind of issues we see, like where there is no trust here, but we are actually, like, we want to trust people in order for our privacy to work, but we don't have any trust in the people who are supposed to maintain our privacy. And that's why those systems fail, and that's why those systems are not something we should use, is what we say to us, right? Because we can't trust them. They're doing funky shit all the time. So, this is where it gets a little weird. I want to talk about the market of data. So, personal data has value. Quite a lot, actually. In fact, it has so much data that on the top 10 list of people, like wealthy people in the world, there's like 4 people that made their money with personal data. I think Bezos is debatable if he made his money just by data, though it's probably reasonable to assume just because, well, that's what Amazon did differently than other companies selling random stuff, is they have a lot of data generation. So data makes a lot of money. And like if it's free, you're the product is something we hear a lot, where the understanding is that free services mean we're selling out our data and getting the services payment back, or for the companies the other way around, where they see your personal data as payment. And then there's also black market for data, right? Where phone numbers are quite the fun thing, because I always think about that when someone prompts me for a phone number. I'm like, well, that's about €2.50 on the black market if it's a verifiable phone number. Sure, that sounds like a useful thing to have, a phone number. And it's not even that like expensive. But there are economic interests in this market. There's a big demand for advertisements, and especially personalized ones, because they are better for return on investment. They are easier to like target, and once it's targeted, you get a lot more people responding. But there is companies like Facebook and Google that control the big share market of personal data. And they're the ones sitting in the middle, they're the ones gaining all the money from it, right? And what's interesting there is that the users, the one that's like the most people on the planet, those users are not considered. Like if you draw a diagram of the market, you have advertisers and the data hoarders, and then the user is somewhere down there, and there's a pickaxe nearby where people are just mining them for free money. Because why not? It works. Nobody cares. Nobody does anything. And that's why we have that situation, because we're used as a natural resource for data mining, but nobody actually wants to change that. And then we have those companies that are just basically digital monopolies. They are so big that you can't escape them. They like by design make breaking out hard. They make interoperability like not an issue, because they just break it. They don't let you make those like choices anymore, or never made like did, because it works for them. It works for them, not for us. And like where I started like my research, I found a paper by someone who is working in the EU Commission for competition authorities. And that person was talking about how, well, actually, this is something people should be looking at. We have big digital monopolies on there that make that whole like customer-company relationship basically so unbalanced that like whole communities form around changing that. But Well, the companies are technically not doing anything problematic. That's what we call a monopoly in economics. This is a company that has a monopoly on a part of the market. There is nothing else there because if you're on Facebook and the other person is not on Facebook, you can't communicate. It's a monopoly on communication, and it's a monopoly on personal privacy and personal data. And that's where we are right now. And like the idea is that privacy should actually be an economic right. Because the idea is, by law, customers are supposed to make their own decisions. Customers are supposed to make decisions without getting influenced, like, very hardly. Like, the point we're making here is saying that if you like gain too much information about a customer, you can predict their like behavior so like rigorously that you can stop anyone. Like, can you can predict exactly what they are doing in response to certain advertisement. And we have to call into question if at that point those people are able to make their own decisions. Like, we're gonna go like really far. Free will is an argument here, but yeah, we don't wanna go into that too far, right? But that's like the core of the issue here in some ways, where when is manipulation too much? When is this a systemic issue? And I feel like there's a tweet I saw like 3 weeks ago that kind of captured that whole thing. It was a response to some like campaigns against fake news. There was basically Google, Facebook, and Twitter were going together and making a plan of operations how to deal with misinformation on the internet. And then the question came up: is it time to accept those giants as a new form of ruling class? Like, it's a little out there, right? But it's something that we have to like understand, that that's something that's not completely unlikely. We're saying these companies are beyond national law. They're so international that we don't know how to even regulate them. We have stuff like what Max Schrems is doing, where he's like fighting really hard against courts, against the system and the companies to get tiny changes happen. Or like, they're big changes, don't get me wrong, but they're like, meanwhile, the companies are moving as well, right? Are those companies like going too far? And that's where we stand. And there's this fun like little quote from Greenwald, where he says, if you have nothing to hide, then just give me all your like email logins. And I kind of want to change that a little bit. If you say, I have nothing to hide, then I say yes, because you sold all you have already. You don't have any personal information there to sell, so you don't have anything to hide. It's already sold. And then we get to this part. Right. Privacy is not a technical issue anymore. Privacy is not an issue you can deal with by doing technology right. Yes, there are technical aspects. Yes, ad blockers and anti-like tracking measures help. They actually help quite amazingly. Like, you wouldn't even like think about it, but it does a lot of things. If you don't use them anymore, all of a sudden everything is different. In theory, we could solve privacy like that. We could say, in theory, well, there's technical solutions for everything. And any work in the technical aspects is pretty important, and there's like really good work being done here. But it doesn't solve the issue, because personal data is like oil. Oil is like a really important natural resource. A lot of people need it. And it's quite heavily monopolized. That's why there's international like ruling bodies on how to use oil, because it's kind of a big deal. There's whole countries like standing off of oil. Like, some countries wouldn't be in any way powerful if they didn't have any oil. nobody would care for them. But oil right now is something that we cling on to, something that we say, well, we kind of need this oil. We want to have all the oil in the world because it saves our country from falling apart. And that's what personal data is. Personal data is like oil. We don't have electric cars right now because there's people making a lot of money off oil. The powerful people don't want things to change. And that's the same with privacy. We don't have any change in privacy because the powerful people profit from it staying the way it is. And the difference with privacy and oil is oil you theoretically could live without. You could just take the train and stuff like that. Privacy is something everybody needs because it's control over yourself. Giving up privacy means giving up control over yourself. And that's where the metaphor sadly falls apart, because oil is an issue we could solve by not using oil. But privacy isn't an issue we can solve by not using privacy. So, I'm going to try a little like positive outlook at the end. How do we change this? How do we make it better? What are the issues here that we need to change? Those kind of things, right? So, I want to go away from framing privacy as a technical problem in any way at all. It isn't a technical problem anymore. I want to frame it instead as a societal issue, like purely. No talk about technical solutions to the not technical problem. So, on the one hand, we have what we always do as privacy people, like saying, oh, there's technical solutions, use an ad blocker, use GPP, use Tor, those kinds of things. And they're useful, we talked about that, but is that an issue? Is that the solution? I don't think so. We have stuff like layer 8 problems, as we call them. It's saying, well, it's the user's fault. Don't blame it on us, we fixed it, privacy is solved, the users are the problem. Then we have people saying, well, stop using convenience over privacy. Don't use the easy stuff when you could have private stuff. And everyone's like, that works really well, right? No, it doesn't. Or you have stuff like, say, everyone install this software and it will be solved. Like, sometimes that might work, but it's not a holistic solution. What's happening here is we need to change as a society. We need to figure out how to have like the fundamental right of privacy not be something that can be used and exploited for power. And that's the hard part, right? Because people like having power. And we shouldn't assume that privacy is a prime good. We shouldn't go into like discussions with anyone saying, well, this is better because privacy. Because those people don't believe that. We always assume saying, well, privacy is the thing everyone needs, and that's why, like, it's the core issue, like, argument saying, well, privacy is what we want, and that's why you do this, 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 and this. But you have to argue why you want privacy. And that's something that's, like, missing. What we do when we argue about privacy is saying, well, you wouldn't want to get killed because you're against the state, or you wouldn't want to have everyone know what you're doing in your sex life. Those are our arguments for privacy. But maybe that's not good enough. And I would say probably that's not good enough. Because if we had good arguments for privacy that would actually work and would actually like fit into people, and then you gave them the solutions like install this, then there would be a change. But there isn't. And that's why we have to work through that. And then the big one, privacy is not an I problem. I don't have a problem with privacy. We as a group have a problem with privacy. Privacy is not just something you can fix on your own. And you know that because, well, Facebook takes the contact information that your friends have and takes it anyways. And like, even if you don't use Facebook, Facebook probably knows more than you wanted to know, because Facebook uses shadow profiles and stuff like that. Privacy is not an issue that every person themselves can solve. Privacy is not an issue that I as a person could solve for myself, even. Privacy is an issue that we need to solve as a community. And that's where like convenience is, like the argument that I'm always hearing that was like, well, people should stop choosing convenient solutions. Just take the hard way and like use something that's more complicated, but privacy. And that's not a way we can do this. Convenience is important. That's why we're using technology. If convenience wasn't important, we wouldn't be using technology. And that's where we have, like, that's, and like, I can turn around that argument and say, well, convenience is something that we need to get rid of. And that is convenience in the people that advocate for privacy. We as a community, as people that care about privacy, need to change that and say, I'm going to go out of my way, not in my personal life, but in my like life as a privacy person, to change stuff. Not, I'm going to stop using Tor, or going to stop using, like, not I'm going to stop using Facebook, because that's not the way to solve privacy. How you solve privacy is saying everyone is going to stop using Facebook. So you not using Facebook is not solving your argument. It's only solving your own problem. It's giving you a good conscience. It's saying, well, I care about privacy. I don't use Facebook anymore. But is that really how it gets solved? Because it isn't. Because we don't make a movement out of this. Like, a person leaving Facebook because they care about not being on Facebook because of their privacy doesn't solve the privacy issue. It gives them a better feeling. And that's where why this doesn't work. And like, the last part is a difficult one, saying power needs to be redistributed. Someone else needs to be in charge, or privacy shouldn't give power over people. And that's kind of where we're at, right? Where we're saying the system is the issue, not just the technology, not just a company. System is the issue. And if we don't figure out a way around that, then it's the system that we need to get rid of. Are you in control?
Thank you very much. We have questions in the audience. Microphone coming.
You argued that doing it yourself and leaving those services that are not good privacy-wise wouldn't be a solution because it just gives you a good feeling without solving a social problem. Yep. But I think it is part of solving a social problem just because you need to be a good example and to show people that it's possible and that it works. In order to convince them, because if you don't do it yourself, just preaching to them won't help.
Kind of. So yes, just preaching doesn't help. You have to be willing to change. You have to be the one that is willing to say, well, I'm not using that. But the way and why you're doing it is the issue. If you're saying, I'm not using Facebook because I want to have a better feeling, you're not solving anything. And if you're saying you're wrong for using Facebook because you're not caring about your privacy, then you're like, that's like the jump people make. Like, they go from, I'm feeling better because I don't use privacy problematic products. But if you're then using that and saying, well, you should be the one that also not uses Facebook because that's bad for your privacy, that's the issue. And that's where most of that stuff leads to. And that's why we don't have a solution right now. So I think that answers your question, right?
Further questions? I think everybody is just totally numb right now. So there are no questions coming from that internet. So I think we can say thank you very much, Kuchen.